an old saying that says, all is well that ends well. And there's a scripture that says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I've gone through some strange, as strong as the good things have been, I have been bombarded recently, and all kind of last night, lots of last night, I was bombarded. And I don't want to call it depression. It's worse than that. And because it's a spiritual thing. And this morning, something happened. It was a strange thing, and I'm going to relate it the best I can. Back in Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones. He didn't say dry bones here. They're full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. He caused me to pass by. You know, he wandered here and there, and he's looking at all these dry bones. And behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you shall bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. He prophesied to the bones to hear the word of the Lord. And so they did. And they came together, bone to bone, sinew to sinew. Flesh was upon them. But it says, but there was no breath. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. It says here, how did I come up with it before I have quoted this wrong? It says, come from the four winds. It does not say come from the four corners of the earth. It just says come from the four winds. And breathe upon these that were slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great and mighty army. And anyway, 16 years ago or so, I was so burdened and so in agony and torment and positive that if the end of the world came, if the Lord came or whatever happened, that I was going to hell. I was positive of it. And so in my state of mind and in my thinking, and a lot of it was in my thinking, I said, what I need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Sure. And so I kept praying, Lord, you got to fill me with the Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit. And in my mindset, my mind told me that what I have to do is be filled with the Spirit so I can promote the wonderful truths that I have. That was my inner concepts. And anyway, what I didn't understand is I didn't really have those wonderful truths to promote. I was deceived. And So, which is kind of the state of this church, and I was part of the church, and my thinking is that we just came from the, we've been taught by the best in the West, and literally, and that we had, our doctrine was ex cathedra, it was beyond repute or dispute. That's not, repute wasn't the word, dispute. It's beyond argument. And so the Lord spoke, and I was told that what I needed to do was to look for him where he was. And what it caused me in this process of the last 15 years or so, to listen to the scriptures day and night. And in the process, faith comes by hearing, not by the word of God. The scriptures have convinced me. My whole insides are convinced that this is actually God's word. Just because men have twisted it and turned it and made private interpretations doesn't mean that it still isn't God's word. But it needs to be rightly translated, interpreted. It has to be come to us by the Holy Spirit. And so, but in the process, you know, there's what, 7 of us here this morning? And that's not really a good sign to the outward looking. That's kind of pathetic. And as we keep listening, and there's inner changes that are taking place, there are wonderful changes that are taking place in us. But as we are, it's not, people are not really grabbing hold of this thing like I'd like to see. Then I have these experiences. You know, I've had, I don't know how many of them now. Just a few weeks ago, I had an experience. All night long, there was this place was full of people. I'm having it, and it's like, I don't know if I'm dreaming. I don't know if it's a vision. I don't know if it's either one, or I didn't really eat anything that would cause my stomach to do this to me. So I have these things. But it doesn't transpire. And anyway, and so, and I'm thinking about it. I'm laying there awake some night time, but I was like this early this morning. And I got up. And something happened. And I'll read you a scripture that came to mind. I didn't know where it was. I probably will always know where it is now. It's in Zerubbabel. Or no, it is not. It's in Zechariah. Chapter 4, verse 6. It is not. It's in Zerubbabel. No, Zechariah. Yeah, it's Zechariah. Chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, and saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Okay, that's how I got Zerubbabel. There isn't such a book as Zerubbabel. Saying, not by might, nor by power, nor by numbers, nor by intellect. I'm just adding this, it's not in here. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And anyway, it brought me into a position of, into reality. It brought me into something that I know. You know, and I know, and we all know. The bones came together because of the word of God. And there's a lot of people that are picking this thing up, and they're, you know, good things are happening to people and so forth. But we have a little difficulty. And the difficulty is that we're not seeing a lot of wonderful things happening because of us having the word. But we got a problem. And the problem is lacking the Holy Spirit. And since that happened, and as I prayed different this morning than I have prayed in a long, long, long time. In the 11th chapter of Luke, it says, "And it came to pass," verse 1, "that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," okay, Jesus is praying, "when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And you know what? I never put these verses together until this morning. "And so he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, or in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them," okay, so there's the Lord's Prayer. There's other versions of it that, you know, from other translations, and we get a little bit different. But anyway, and so then you think, well, okay, that's this, and now here's this, and now here's this. That's not. "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me." This is still part. This is still a part of the Lord's Prayer. "For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Okay, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. This is still part of the Lord's Prayer. Are you following me? It's not separated from it. He says, "And he said unto them," verse 5, he's following this thing. He's following the thought pattern, and I all of a sudden began to follow the thought pattern. "When which of you shall have a friend," you know, it's still part of the Lord's Prayer. "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of, he is his friend, and yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Not, it's not that God is the same as that. We are getting a picture that we need in our minds. Are you following me? There's a picture that we need. "And I say unto you," and this is what I was thinking. My legs are shaking because I'm thinking of what happened this morning. Feeling it. "And I say unto you," in verse 9, "ask, and it shall be given to you. And knock, and seek, and you shall find. And knock on the door, it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father," now listen to the thought that's behind this thing, "will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" This is still part of the context. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" That's all part of the same context. When I was desperate 16 years ago, and I was feeling that I'm going to miss out, If the Lord came, I'm going to go to hell. I was positive of it. I was convinced of it. Just lately, I have been going through something where I'm convinced that I'm missing the boat somewhere, I meant just the devil comes. And anyway, and nobody says anything. Nobody has to say anything. It just it's things that just like before deliverance came in 82, the voices that came and the experiences that I had that led up to deliverance, until deliverance came. The devil was knowing some things ahead of time, and he was attacking me, and to the point that I had marks on my neck when I woke up in the morning where somebody was choking me, and I'm thinking it was my own hands, but I don't know. And it was a horrible experience. Well, it's been kind of happening recently like this, and I woke up this day today, and I got up and I realized something. We are now back to where I was 16 years ago. You know what I was asking for? To be filled with the Spirit. To be like I experienced when I first got filled with the Spirit, or other times when deliverance came, and what I went through for 40 days. And this kind of, I was looking for that. I said, Lord, just, I need that. I'm getting old. I need to have this. And now I'm 16 years older than that. And this morning, I woke up and I knew where we're at. Now it's step number two. Now we pray until we're filled with the Spirit to do something with the Word of God that God is going to give to us. We need to be filled with the Spirit, and we're not. I'm not. I'm not filled like I have been. Like when I got filled, you know, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not filled like I was when deliverance came. I'm not filled like I was in between when we're down in the Pentecostal assembly and we saw things down there that were phenomenal. It's been it's kind of like it kind of ebbed out. You know, I've lost something, and anyway, in that Zechariah, where God says it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by numbers. It's not by intellect. It's not by enticing words of men's wisdom. It's not by any of these things. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And what I need, and you know, when I pray this morning, I prayed like I have not been able to pray for a long time. It's not 200 people here. It's one person filled with the Holy Spirit. It's five people filled with the Holy Spirit. With the right, you know what I'm saying? In the right thing. And then we're going to see God do what He's promised. And God has promised some things. I have some promises. And I've been sitting here thinking, is this going to transpire? Is this going to happen? And the thing is, yeah. But it's not going to happen like I keep thinking, because I can't think straight. It's going to happen by the Spirit.
I don't know. Keith said something today and got me pretty fired up. He said he's looking for signs and they're just not happening. I wholeheartedly disagree. There are signs everywhere. It's just we have to decide what signs we're looking for. That's a little tough, a little unjust. I love Keith, and I understood where he's coming from, but make sure there wasn't any misconception. You know, I think I have two things. Keith kind of started a thought, so I'll follow that one a little bit here. What I got out of what Keith shared today was, when we were first brought into the family, when we first are saved, and we first are filled with the Spirit, we come to God like little children. Our faith is endless. We question nothing. And we're filled. And He moves. But then we get in the trenches. We talk to our other fellow Christians, and they keep bringing counterpoints, and they keep bringing wisdoms, and they keep bringing their theologies and their doctrines, basically all of the wrong things that the enemy is, all the leaven the enemy is sowing in. And all of a sudden, things aren't quite like they used to be. Just reading a scripture last night, it was talking about Jesus, His ministry, and how ineffective He was when He went back to His hometown of Nazareth. Now, there's a couple different slants, and maybe you take it, your takeaway might be different than mine, but at least in this regard, you know, once upon a time, I couldn't tell if Jesus was holding back the power of the miracles, but you can read that another way, that because the people didn't have faith, the Father didn't give them power. So when you start talking about signs and you start talking about the Spirit flowing, there's sort of, I believe, in some level, related to how much faith you're exhibiting, how much faith you're walking in. And it's clear that we've had lots of spiritual gifts given to us over the years, but our foundation couldn't support them. And the devil could get in there and rob us of them, and they were taken away. I don't know. My foundation is better. It's getting better every day. And when the power comes, and if I can continue to walk like a little child in faith, it's going to come in a big way. You've heard me get up here and say, I am struggling with figuring out how to get myself out of His way. I keep getting in the way of what He wants to do. I keep putting too much of me in my walk. I'm a work in progress, brothers and sisters. There's no perfection here. But I know if I continue to seek Him with my heart and I continue to stand in faith, the power will come. Not that I want the power, but the Holy Spirit will move in our lives. Now, I say that and I'll go back to what I said when I first got up here. God is moving mightily in our midst. There are things that I didn't have a glimmer of that now He's showing me. There are things I see in your testimonies that is nothing more than miraculous. In a way, Keith, I'm glad you're having these problems. Not because I'm mean-hearted, but it's because I believe we must be getting close. The enemy must be worried.
Yes.
Why else are you having these travails? I don't want you to have these travails. But I'm excited where we're at. I'm excited where we're at. I've shared with some, you know, we have been given a great gift. It's nothing special, yet those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And what we heard was, if you want to find me, seek me where I am. That is so simple, yet so key, to where we're at and where we need to be. The other thought I've been having, and it kind of goes back to, you know, some of the discussion, as it were, is, you know, in some of the looking at the Gospels, it just kind of jumped out at me the last week or so. When Jesus came upon someone who had a demon, the demon cries out and says, "I know who you are. Have you come before the time?" And I've been pondering on that, and it kind of goes back to some of the things that have been said recently about, you know, pre-existent Christ and the timing that we see in Revelations. It seems to be occurring too often. Somehow, don't know how yet, but somehow the demons know who Christ was. They knew him. They knew him as he comes upon a person. So where did that take place? I don't know for sure. But it certainly opens up some thoughts. It certainly makes me wonder what's going on. I will say this. If Jesus was spirit before the Father sent him down to be the only begotten Son, and he gave up because of the Father's will and became flesh and blood, that only makes Jesus' perfect sacrifice more perfect in my thinking. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't diminish his sacrifice and that he came for the repentance of our sins to save us all. And it doesn't make him a deity in my mind. He was a spirit, not God. And that he did his Father's will only makes him more of an example of doing what the Father wanted and not what he may have wanted. It just keeps coming back. This is our family. I'm sharing. I could be wrong. I don't know. But this is what God's shown me in the last couple of weeks.
Discovered something else in the scriptures. John the Baptist, in all four of the Gospels, was a forerunner of Christ, and he pointed towards things, you know, that were major. And yet, in the, I think the 11th chapter of Matthew, I think it's recorded. I'm not sure. John is in prison. And he sends a word to Jesus. Now, he has said that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's in the Gospel of John, he tells us that towards the end of the third chapter of the Gospel of John, he tells us that Jesus has a spirit without measure. You know, he that comes from above him that God sent speaks the words of God. I mean, he tells us some profound things. And then, I think the 11th chapter of Matthew, I'm not positive, he sends a word to Jesus through some of his disciples. And he asked Jesus, he said, "Are you the one to come, or do we look for another?" And when I read that, I thought, how could John, having all of the insights and things that he has, how could he ask such a question? And what it did, it just shows that there's also humanity in John. The devil can get to him too. As the devil can get to us, and he can get to me. And at the same time, God is stronger than the devil. The spirit is stronger, and it's and so anyway, here's the other side of this thing. Now, I knew this morning that we are gonna experience a profound visitation of the Spirit. And that's what happened in March 15, 1982. That was a profound visitation that took over. And that's kind of what I'm trying to pronounce here, because I know that that's what's on the horizon. That's what's going to happen. And Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses." Well, at this point, we are learning some major things, but I'm not really being able to witness it. It's not having an impact. When Joanne and I first got filled with the Spirit, it was impacting. We saw the most unbelievable things, not just the signs and wonders, but we also saw lives transformed. And now, this is like pulling teeth. You know, it's a real hard thing, and I guess that's kind of what I was saying. It's there's a difference between what I saw and what I'm seeing. And so, this morning, the Lord brought me back to the place where I was 16 years ago. And what I got to do is I have to, and then maybe just speaking for me, I got to stay on my face before the Lord and do what it says in those verses in Luke. Because that was the Lord's Prayer. And this is the rest of it all the way down. It ends in verse 13. Because that's the whole, in the same context. It says, you know, it says, "And he said to them," I mean, it's like he's adding this to this, and he's adding this to this, and he's adding this to this. There's no separation. It's not like he said one thing and then he moved to another city and said, it's not it. This is all in the same context. And I guess that was the point. And so maybe it's for nobody besides me, but I tell you what, I knew this morning it was for me. I've had some phenomenal conversations with Tim, and don't get gun shy, Tim, and be leery of coming up and sharing, because what you said last week was phenomenal. And I'm saying this on the thing, and what happened is that Charlie came up in the front and sat there, and I think it kind of scared you away a little bit, and it shouldn't, because God's doing a good thing in you, and you need to have you feel free to come and share. Are you with me? And I thought, I bet you that's what happened. But what happens is, when we get excited, and sometimes we got lots to say, and I think Charlie was thinking, we had Shelley sitting here, and she gets here once a year. You know what I'm saying? And so, anyway, don't be hesitant to share. Don't let that stop you.
Great intro. You know, I really was blessed by your testimony, Corky, because I was going through the same thing last night as I was going off to sleep. And I took a nap during the day yesterday, and I was staying up kind of late, and I thought, man, I gotta go, you know. That's where I belong. And, you know, my commitment to that was such that I was listening to the Word of God, and I was thinking, you know. And, I mean, I was thinking with my natural mind, yeah, but I'd like to think that I was also thinking with the mind of my spirit, too. And a lot of that was I was starting to count my blessings in the spirit. And I was starting to realize what a wonderful, great thing is happening now. You know, you talk about fruits, you talk about signs and wonders and stuff. And, you know, you got to, I'm not trying to get psychological on anybody, but, you know, it's a matter of perspective. You know, 16 years ago, you had that perspective of a little child, and you, or when you first got saved, you know, and whenever it was, you know, last century or whatever. And, you know, you saw all these wonderful things happening. Lives were changed, and profound things were happening, and people were being laid in the aisle and slain in the spirit and whatnot, you know. And it really made a big impression. And on you, because you had this childlike mindset, and now that you're all grown up and you realize that things are all sophisticated and complicated, and you know, much more complex than anybody could ever figure out, stuff is happening. It's really not phasing you that quite as much. I wouldn't, you know, I'm thinking, because last night I was, you know, like Corky was saying, man, I was looking at myself. And I was looking at the world around me, and I'm, okay, we're not in a great tribulation. My life isn't in a shambles or anything yet. You know, everybody's got their little problems and stuff, but what's going on inside my heart, and what is the Lord constructing and creating inside of me by His Spirit? And I realized, you know, man, I am getting to be really, really intimate with Him. I'm getting to be real tight with Him. You know, I'm spending time with Him. I'm more aware of Him. He's in my thoughts. I refer to Him when there's decisions that come my way. When I think about different things in the world and with my life and, you know, with the Spirit and whatnot, it's always, you know, well, what do you think, Lord? Well, Lord, how about this? I mean, what should I think? What is this all about? I'm constantly referencing Him, and I've never really done that before. When I got saved, you know, it was like, bam, you know, you got the power or whatever, and things are happening, and you see all the wonderful fireworks going off, and you want to run to the fireworks display and be all part of it and all the excitement and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it's mostly for you, because you're a little kid and you're all excited, and it's wonderful, you know. But when you grow up, you start to realize, you know, that you have responsibilities, not just to other people, but to yourself too. You have a responsibility to turn into what the Lord intended you to be. And that's what's happening right now with me. And it wouldn't happen if I were involved in all this other stuff, you know. If I were involved in all these other ministries, if I were busy writing books, if I were, you know, busy in this ministry, you know, preaching the ABCs of the gospel or whatever, I wouldn't be experiencing the depths of the Spirit that I'm experiencing right now. I laid there and I cried. I was so happy. I really did. I didn't cry really hard, but I was weeping tears of joy, and I was saying, thank you, Lord. I really, really, really felt loved. And I experienced that love as a spiritual love in the Spirit. Yeah, it made me cry in the natural, but it also made me feel really warm and good. And you know what? There was nobody there. I was alone in my bed, laying there with a CD player going. I don't even remember what scriptures I was listening to, okay? But all I know is that, you know, that's a really, really precious fruit. That's a sign. That's a wonder to me, okay? And I think the miracles that the Lord is doing inside of your hearts are greater than physical healings. They're greater than, you know, anybody could take a mountain and throw it in the sea. Really, come on. You know, we're dealing with God here. All right, matter, energy, that kind of stuff, that's no big deal. All right, it's no big deal. Space-time is nothing to Him. What's the big deal is inside here and your willingness. You know, the Lord was showing me last night that I was listening to His Word, you know, and I didn't. He's like, well, what are you expecting? You know, are you expecting to go to church tomorrow and heal zillions of people or bring in new converts? Or, you know, what are you expecting, all these great, wonderful little kid things that you used to really get into? And I'm like, no, I'm expecting whatever you have for me. I don't care what it is. Maybe I'll be on the cross, you know. Maybe I'll get nailed to a tree. Maybe they'll spit on me and beat me up and throw rocks at me and make fun of me, you know. But that's your decision, because I want what you want. And I don't care what's ahead. I know that if I go through it with you, if me and you do it together, I'm going to be fine. You know, Jesus had help hauling that cross up the hill. They got Simon. You know, he couldn't hack it. I mean, they really beat him up. He was trying to drag that, you know, and he probably couldn't have made it if Simon hadn't been called to help him, if they hadn't grabbed him and, you know, conscripted him into doing that. And so right now, I mean, kind of like I can hear that we're maybe, you think you're struggling or whatever. We're not struggling. You guys got to realize this is a really precious time that we have here. We can read this word. I'm reading it more now than I ever have, actually. I haven't read it in the past few years because I've been listening to it all the time. But now I'm starting to read it, you know. I mean, read it while I'm listening to it. Is that crazy? Probably. But I do it, you know, and it's a fruit. It's a sign. It's a wonder. It's something that proves to me that the Lord is active in my life. And I've got time to do that, you know. There's coming times when we aren't going to, there's going to be a dearth of the Word of God. You're not going to have the opportunity to pray. You might be separated from other Christians. There's going to be all kinds of natural roadblocks in the way. Well, right now, we don't have any of those. You got like the open highway and we're the only car on the road, you know. My suggestion is that we take it, you know, as much as we possibly can, you know. Just fill yourself with it. And in the process of filling yourself with this Word, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, you know, the people came and said, well, we cast out demons, prophesied, etc. in your name. You know, and he's like, get away from me. I never knew you. Well, during this time that we have right now that's not filled with fireworks and raising dead and signs and wonders and all those wonderful little kid things, you know, I don't say that disparagingly, but that's what they are. We're not seeing a lot of that. We have time to let him get to know us. And we have time to open our hearts to him. And we have time to sit there and, you know, and pose questions to him, like, am I doing the right thing? Or what would you have me to do? Et cetera, et cetera. We're having time to let him get to know us. So he'll never be able to say, I never knew you. You know, he'll say, well, I knew you. Of course I knew you. In that time when it was kind of like a desert to everybody else, man, you were really basking in that oasis of my spirit. You know, you were splashing around in the water and having a great time. And I didn't need to, you know. That's what Paul said. He goes, well, the signs and the wonders and stuff are just to get people to inspire them to faith. Well, I've already got faith, okay? I don't need healings. You know, I don't need you to raise somebody from the dead. I don't need you to throw no mountains in the sea to convince me of what I already have. All right? That's pointless. I mean, it just doesn't address the issue. The issue is your faith and your belief. That's what the miracles and stuff are for. All right? We need to get this in the right perspective from a spiritual perspective. And yes, it's nice to have fireworks. I like fireworks as much as the next guy. I really do, you know. When the power starts to flow and like you'd like it to. It's flowing now is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's flowing right now. I felt it last night. I'm feeling it this morning. I felt it when Corky got up. I felt it when Keith was preaching or testifying or whatever. And that's what he's doing right now. And I think we should be thankful for that. And I think we should recognize that and this time as a real precious, wonderful gift that he's giving us. We don't have any pressure on us not to listen to his word. We can focus all our effort on listening to him. You know, that's what people were created for. You go back to the beginning of Genesis and stuff. He was walking through the garden, walking and talking with Adam and Eve, you know. And that's how they knew stuff. They didn't know good from evil. They had to have him to sit there and guide them and tell them. And that's how they were. That's how they lived. And they messed it all up when they got tempted to eat the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. They didn't need God anymore to tell them the knowledge of good and evil. They knew themselves, you know. And we saw how that turned out. But we're coming out of that, you know. And this is a part of it, this time that we're in right now. I personally, I was laying there, and after I felt that wave of love or whatever it was, you know, I was thinking, Lord, I don't care, you know. I mean, I don't want to be the big, you know, the guy that goes to the church that does all the miracles and raises all the dead and blows everybody's mind every Sunday morning or whenever we do it, you know. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be a part of an organization like that. I want to be with you. And I want you to talk to me and tell me what's up and what's right and what's going on. And I want to listen to my brethren. I want to be edified by them. And I want to try to help them and be a blessing to them too. But this is all about you. And it's your creation. This is your show. And it's going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. And that's what I want. And if you want to put the brakes on supernatural stuff happening, you know, throwing mountains in the sea, raising the dead, etc., that's fine. That's okay with me, all right? I'm going to cherish this time that I get to know you, because when we're open to Him like this and His Word, you know, we're getting to know Him too. And that's really important, you know. Addressing the thing about John, you know, every time I hear that, I realize, this is my take on it anyway, the Spirit, he was overwhelmed by the Spirit. We've all experienced the Spirit in a great measure, you know, during our time on this earth. Do you remember how hard it was for you to deal with the natural realm during that time? I mean, I remember being filled with the Spirit and having the Spirit all over me, and it's like I could hardly talk. I didn't even know how to feel. I would cry and I would laugh, and, you know, it's overwhelming. Again, you got to realize who we're dealing here. It's God we're dealing with, you know. He's overwhelming, all right? And when I hear that, you know, I keep thinking, if I was one of the two guys going into prison talking to John and saying, you know, John, Jesus said, you know, or John sent us to, oh, wait a minute, John sent them, okay, and they came back and told him. And anyways, I would have said, John, man, how can you forget? I mean, it couldn't have been more than a few months ago that you were at the River Jordan baptizing this guy, calling him the Lamb of God, you know, testifying about, you know, how you saw the dove land on him and he's full of the Spirit. How could you forget that, you know? But because of my experience in the spirit realm, I know I could forget it. He was overwhelmed. Humans aren't that strong and deep, you know. We get a little bit of God's Spirit and we come all undone. That's just how we are. And we need to realize that, you know. And we need to have grace and mercy for our brethren, because it's going to happen again, you know. The Spirit's coming again, and I expect to see all of you and then some come undone, you know, and not be able to handle it in the natural. And that's cool, you know. We're not dealing with a natural plan here. We're dealing with the Spirit. But I'd just like to say I was really blessed, Corky, by your testimony, and it just confirmed to me what the Spirit's doing in me, too.
This is a very anointed service. First, I'm going to say I wish Keith was the only one that was getting. I really do. But at the same time, I really identified with Keith, Tim, everything this, because, and Tim hit the part where I was sitting there and he mentioned about God wants to deal with your heart, and immediately I was broken. Because just in the last day or so, I had this fear developing, good one, that I did not want to miss what He wants to do with my heart and with what He wants to do, period, and what He has, what He wants to give. I don't want to miss out. And so it brings, and see, that's where I really identify a little, Tim. I've gotten to the place too where I really have a closeness, in the sense that I want to commune with my Father and with Jesus Christ, and I want it on a personal basis. And you know, when you stop and think about it, What good, what would become of seeing mountains moved if your heart isn't connected to Him? What will it do? Absolutely nothing, except bring you eventually eternal damnation. And, you know, I went because of our discussion a little bit about revelations and stuff, and so I was reading in that again. And, you know, God's going to reveal that book. He is going to reveal all the truth that we need to know in that book. And one of the things that I noticed, started seeing was, you know, when it talks about the harlot and how the woman, well, it's all tied up around chapter 12, a little before and after, but I started seeing sometimes you don't need to necessarily know all the intricate stuff. You just have to start seeing little bits at a time, like harlot, Babylon, the beasts. You know, in there, it's the harlot who is accused of killing most of all the prophets. Well, who killed the prophets? Basically, the church. That wasn't the church. It was acting as the church. I mean, it was God's people who weren't really, didn't have the heart for their father that killed the prophets. Who killed Stephen and everybody else? Who's killed them since then? The church. And so, yes, the beast is of the world system, and it kills people that are God's people also. But that's the thing. And you see two different ones. Well, eventually, I believe God is going to reveal and just shine the light on this deceptive harlot church. And it's going to be so bad that even the world is going to condemn it. For being a hypocrite, you know, for being not the real thing. Because that's what it says. Eventually it says even the beast or whatever wants to do in the harlot. You know, not just, you know. So anyway, that's just stuff to touch on. But as Keith was talking, I just read something this morning about Paul. And, you know, I've been going through my thing, which is exactly where we need to be. It's God's dealing with the stuff that affects my salvation first. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not, it's not going to do anybody else any good either. Not that I am the one that's going to do somebody good, you know what I mean, as a servant. But really, even not that. You just get, that's what has to be done in you first. You have to be completely converted. I'm not. But I can see that he's working on it. He's doing it. And he's making certain things start to finally be a little bit of a stench. Like a rotten taste in my mouth, you know. But so I'm sitting there and I'm hearing what Keith is saying, and I'm kind of saying, yeah, you know, I've had closer moments with my God than I've ever had that had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit falling on me necessarily. You know, I mean, as a manifestation. It's just been a personal thing. And I was thinking, I just read, when Paul was on the way in the process of doing in God's church, of stopping it, of wanting to kill it, a light shines on him. But then what happens later, he's blinded and a guy comes and prays, Ananias, I think it is. He prays and he is over Paul. His eyesight's restored, but most of all, it says, and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Paul was never the same again. And then just a little later, it says, and he was baptized. So he fulfilled the whole, but it was a little backwards. So now look at, here he was, should be condemned to eternity for what he's doing, but God knows who he is. And he baptizes him with the Holy Spirit, and he's completely changed. Totally changed. Forever. And it is forever. Because he is in forever right now. You know? Fulfilled what he was called to do. So, all of a sudden, that just like hope and encouraging just came on me. I mean, I it's like, because I've been telling the Lord, I can't do this. I'm not defeating these areas in my life. I'm giving in all the time, you know? And so, and I know I laid here this morning, and at the time I think there was three of us in here, and I went, Lord, not by sight, by faith. I don't care what I see. By faith, I believe you. And I'm not concerned that there's this little, because it's like he said, look at Paul, for one man baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, look at Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, and when you think about it, he went and was baptized by John, and what came upon him when he came out? The Holy Spirit, the dove, you know? I mean, and that's when his ministry started. And just, and this probably doesn't seem like it ties in, but there's a thing in Revelations, and it's stuck in me. I can't get rid of it. And it has to do when it says there's two lampstands and there's two olive trees. And for some reason, then later on, I'm reading about the two witnesses that come onto the earth, and they have the power to rain fire down, stop the rain. They can do whatever, cause any kind of plague. And it says they're killed and they lay in the street and everything. Well, I kept going, it seems like that's a type, but then it makes it sound like it's just those two. But it doesn't kind of make sense. I mean, now some of that's probably, that's my natural mind, you know. But even then it's like, so when you're reading in Zechariah, that's the other place it's referenced. Mm-hmm. It's after what you did. I kept reading. And there's two olive trees. And then there's also these olive branches that are going in and feeding the lampstands. And I'm going, see, this, there's something to this. And here's, I don't know, this is not, but here's the only thing that's come to me so far. I keep thinking it has to do with when natural Israel receives the Lord spiritually, whoever that is. It won't be all of them. Well, maybe it will. I don't know. And the Gentiles who have been anointed and saved and come in, and they've been, you know, brought into the olive tree, grafted in, because it says in Zechariah the two anointed ones. Well, you know, there's not only going to just be two anointed. It wouldn't line up with what we're seeing in Scripture. But two, say, entities that involve, you know, a bunch of people anointed? Because that's a big separation, the Jews and the Gentiles. It, you know, that's a, especially in their mind, not so much ours, but in their mind it is. And that could mean the difference. But oh, so I'll stop with that. But I did admit this morning, I said, Lord, I am so glad that your power hasn't fallen yet, because I know either I wouldn't recognize it, believe it or not, at this point, possibly, or I wouldn't know how to handle it. I'd misuse it. And so I don't want it before he knows I'm capable of having it, you know? But this heart thing, That's a big, big deal, because I've come to see that I did not know all that's in my heart. We, if I may be so bold, do not know everything that's in our heart, or say affects our heart, maybe keeps it from becoming what He wants. But because we want Him now more than ever, and we want the truth, that's what He's starting to work on. You know, He's preparing your heart to be totally sold out. And that's a glorious thing. That does not need miracles. Like Tim said, and it's been said here before. And, well, Corky said it too this morning. It isn't what you can see, it's what is not seen that is a miracle that's being done in people. That happened, that we see, because we're here. We don't know. We feel and know there has to be others, but we haven't met them yet, you know. So, that, and you know what? You'll go through these periods of whatever, like Keith just said he did. I'm going through those things, you know. I've been so dissatisfied with myself lately at different times. I mean, just totally upset with myself. But at the same time, probably the miracle is I'm not just being swept away. You know? I'm going, no, I know what I really want. I believe, you know, I'm hoping, and I do believe, because you got to know at certain times so that gets you when you're not feeling it so much, you know. It's a weird thing, but, I mean, that's the thing. I know I've stood up here and I said, I know for sure God's a good plan for me and He'll carry it out and it's going to be done. And then it's like, I'm going, I got a fear because I'm not going to make it, you know. But at the same time, that other thing comes back in and says, no, something about this relationship I have with Him says, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I want to say it. Can you say you feel you know you're the elect? I don't know. You know, by faith, yes. By appearance, no. You know, I don't know. I mean, I see, if you have the fear that you may not be, is probably the sign that, okay, I won't finish it, but I'll leave it with that.
That just sparked something in me, Ken. It's like, in my mind, it's like you met this wonderful man, or in your case, woman, and you're engaged, and you're going to get married next summer. And you're looking forward to that. You're getting excited about it. It hasn't taken place yet. But you can feel the excitement building, and we're going to be married to him. And I know when I was engaged to Keith and we were planning our wedding, I mean, every day was more exciting and more exciting and more exciting. But we weren't married yet. You know what I mean? It just like, but it's coming. We knew it was if we lived that long, you know? And the date's set. He just hasn't told us when it is. And so it's okay to be excited. And it hasn't taken place yet. But it's going to.
Well, Thursday, I turned 59 again. And like Jerome used to say, and some months. And Friday, I got a telephone call. And it was Dale. And he was in up in the cities, and he'd flown in to set up an operation. He keeps inventing something else and something different and something else, and now he's got something else that's I don't even understand it. But anyway, so he came Friday night, and we talked to him, and I tell you what, God is doing a phenomenal thing in Dale, and I'm so happy about it. But I want to say something. I don't want him necessarily to get him on the CD here, but I asked him about Clarence Rossi, because Dale had taken him to Seattle and had talked and spent a lot of time talking about him. I asked him about Clarence and to see if I was remembering this accurate. And he said, yeah, yeah. See, I forgot that Dale knew Clarence. I was trying to get a hold of Joyce Simmons, and Joyce is kind of out of it. She's in the hospital and or has some major memory problems and stuff. But Dale did. He remembered the whole story, and so it was good, because I thought maybe I'm not getting this right, but I was. And so, but anyway, we had a good time with him. I'm going to turn this off.